Take your Bible, if you would, please. Make your way back to the book of John, the Gospel of John. I would encourage you at home or wherever you are watching that you would have a Bible in front of you this morning. And if you're around the kitchen table or you're sitting on the couch or you're in the yard or wherever you are, I want you to see a scripture. Do not just listen to me. Please don't just have me on in the background and you're around doing your chores or you're around working in the yard. I want you to be still and know that He is God this morning. And I'm a little bit nervous because you're not here. Not because you're not here, but normally I use you to know when to stop preaching. And you're not here, so how am I going to keep track of that? Pastor, what do you mean you use us to know when to stop preaching? Right, it goes something like this, you know. And so now I normally know to stop preaching, but I can't see you, so I'm just going to go until the Spirit of God tells me to stop. A few weeks ago, we started a series. I told you in the beginning of the series from the book of John that it would be a big moment in the life of the church. I told you that the Gospel of John is a big book with a big message. And I was asking God to do big things through this series. I did not know that the world would be captivated the way that the world is captivated today. But what a delight it is to know that no matter how big the need of the world is, Jesus is able to meet that need. And the book of John is powerful and wonderful for such a time as this. It never ceases to amaze me how the Lord will lead in a book study or a series and how it will be so practical for the day in which we live. As God knows that the believers need to be fed and He knows that the light of the gospel needs to be shown around the world. And so what a delight it is. When I introduced this book to you, I told you that it had a purpose in it. And the purpose was, it was the exaltation of the Lord Jesus in His deity. You remember we went all the way back to the 20th chapter of the book to find the key verses of the book. And we found that this book was written that you and I would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. And that life there is spiritual life. I told you there were three words that were paramount into that verse. There was the word signs, which is the word miracles. There was the word believe, which was used 98 times. And then there was the word life, I believe, which was used 34 times. And so John, in the writing of his gospel, had a purpose to show through the signs of the book or the miracles that the Lord Jesus did that He truly is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you, in seeing that and hearing the preaching or the discourse of the Lord Jesus, that it would bring about belief in your heart and your mind, and that that belief upon the Lord Jesus and the belief upon the Lord Jesus only has the ability and to bring about eternal life into our souls, and that we would have life through His name. Big book, big truth, big God. And so as I was praying about what to preach this morning, I'll be honest with you, I did not want in my humanity to come back to the Gospel of John. I kind of thought, Lord, we need a message for the day and time in which we find ourselves. And I just could not get peace about that. And so God kept telling me, go back to the book of John. Go back to the book of John. And I don't know about you, but eventually, after I kind of find my footing, I usually humble myself to what the Lord wants me to do. And so I have come back today to the book of John, chapter number 1, and I would like to begin in verse number 19. And I want to make my way all the way to verse number 34. I will not read all of these scriptures, but I need your concentration and your following along as we do. You find that in verses 19 to 34, John the gospel writer is going to present to us the record. You see that word in verse number 19. And this is the record of John. That John there is John the Baptist. Now you should know him, people of God, church family. You know who John the Baptist is as the forerunner for the Lord Jesus. And so John the gospel writer has as a purpose that in writing this book, that you and I would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why would John the gospel writer care about the testimony or witness of John the Baptist? Well, that is answered in verse number 34, if you would look, please, by what John the Baptist says. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And so John the Baptist saw something about someone who he knew to be and to bear record as the Son of God. So John the Baptist's testimony is vital to John the gospel writer's purpose. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now remember, John the Baptist had many disciples, followers, miraculous things were being done. He was baptizing unto repentance. And so there was this thought that maybe he was the Messiah, the Christ. He confesses that he is not. Verse 21. And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" Another word for Elijah in the Old Testament. And he saith, "I am not," speaking of that Elijah that will come in the end times. "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Verse 22. Then said they unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one." I just want to stop right there for a second, church family. I have been captivated by that statement. I am the voice of one. So captivated was I at that statement that I could hardly take what God began to do in my spirit. You ever been excited about something and have somebody just throw cold water all over your fire? I came home yesterday after my final preparation for today, and I was so excited about the message in my heart, and I came in at lunchtime, and Beverly had lunch there, and the kids were all around, and I came bounding through the door and got to the table, and I told the kids, I said, I am so excited. I am preaching tomorrow on the subject of the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Not a word. No amen. No rejoicing. No wow. Nothing. One of my kids, I will not tell you who, but she's the oldest, with puzzlement on her face and the look that only she has when she wants to communicate something, was working. She looked at me, and out of her mouth came this: "Whatever you do, make it relevant." She said, "People need something relevant." I have been dominated by what came out of the mouth of my daughter. People need something relevant. What a statement for humanity today. I want to preach a message today based on the testimony of John the Baptist. When he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The message that I want to preach to you today is entitled this: Speak up, church. The world needs our voice. Speak up, church. The world needs our voice. I would say to you, believer, speak up. The world needs your voice. I would ask you, in all of the chaos that is going on in the world today, and all the panic and all the fear, where is your voice, child of God? Now is not the time for the believer to be quiet. Now is not the time for the believer to shut up. Now is the time for the believer to speak up. The world needs our voice. You know, I don't know what you personally think about our president or our governor or our senators or the mayors of our cities, but I think when it comes to presence and communication, I would just like to say, and I don't think he watches my message, but to President Trump, I think you're doing a good job. And I would like to say to Governor DeSantis, even though I've never met either one of these men, I think you're doing a good job being there. I think the mayor of New York is doing a good job presenting himself. You know, in the time of difficulty, people need the voice of their leaders. We need our leaders to come, and we need our leaders to be present, and we need our leaders' voice. We need the calm assurance. We need the understanding of what they are doing. We need their presence. I think the mayor of the mayors in Miami, the mayor of Broward County, I think the city mayors have done a wonderful job. I think the superintendents of the school systems, both in Miami and in Broward, leadership is stepping to the microphones and they're yielding their voice. I think the church needs to come at the same level. The world needs the voice of the people of God. And I would submit to you, church family, that voice ought to be a unified voice. Now, I understand that we have denominations, and I understand we have differences, and I understand we have certain things that kind of sometimes can break the unity of the voice of the church. But if we are called the church of Jesus Christ, then if there ought to be unity anywhere, it ought to be on the person of Jesus Christ. And so now more than ever, man, the world needs our voice. And to be honest with you, not only does it need it as one church, and I'm not speaking of ecumenicalism here, don't mistreat me, but I am speaking of the foundation of the person and gospel of the Lord Jesus. Do not deny what God can do through your voice. One voice that will speak up for the Lord. John the Baptist had a ministry and a responsibility before God. John the Baptist's purpose in life was to announce or be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. If you look at verse number 23, you will find his purpose when he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And here's what he was crying: make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So John the Baptist was prophesied that he would be on the scene, and his purpose was that he would let the world know that Messiah was coming, or the nation of Israel was coming. You will find that the day in which John the Baptist entered into the world is not much different than really the day you and I live in. Between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, which is the Old Testament and the New Testament, you have 400 years of what the Bible scholars call silence. In the nation of Israel, there was no prophet at that time. There was no word of God that was coming. There was no moving of God. People were thirsty. People were distant. People were hungry. People were suffering. People were looking for truth. But there was just a silence that was there. It was unprecedented days. So much at like we are facing today. In unprecedented days. Into that came John the Baptist with the purpose of announcing to the nation of Israel the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, if you would look, please, at verse number 24, we'll continue our reading. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. Now watch this. But there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me, born after him, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John says in 31, John the Baptist, and I knew him not. That's interesting. They were cousins. Matter of fact, when John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and Mary came in to announce to Elizabeth that she had that the Messiah was in her womb, John the Baptist did the first ever recorded cartwheel in the Bible. I knew him not. He's your cousin. But, verse 31, that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw. That's interesting. Remember our verse in verse number 34, and I saw. And I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode or remained upon him. You can read this in any one of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And again, verse 33, I knew him not, but, now watch this, he that sent me to baptize with water, speaking of John now speaking of his call, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record, that this is the Son of God. Fascinating testimony that John the Baptist gives. And so relevant, I think, for in the day in which we live. And if I could just set a little bit of a scene, then I'll build a foundation. And if you'll allow me to build this foundation, I'll show you a wonderful truth that I think will secure the believer and challenge the believer, but also draw folks to the saving of the Lord Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist is being questioned as to who he is. He's not the Christ. He's presenting to them that I have a responsibility. And the responsibility is, I'm here to declare unto you the Messiah. And John says, there's one among you that you don't even know he's here. He says that there was a time I didn't even know that he was there. And I think that is so relevant for the church today, because we do believe that Jesus is alive and he is in the world today. But I submit to you that we have got a world that cannot see that there is one that is among us. Now, he may not be among us in his physical body as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but I got news for you. We serve a risen Savior who is in the world today, and I know that he is risen because he lives within my heart. And I would submit to the people of God and to the church of God that there is one in the world that the world does not know he's even there, and it's our responsibility to tell the world who Jesus is. John the Baptist says, there was a time I didn't even know who he was. But the one that told me to go and baptize also told me that I would know who the Messiah was as I saw the Spirit of God descend upon him and remain upon him. Can you imagine when Jesus, the cousin of John the Baptist, came to John the Baptist beyond Jordan and wanted to be baptized, and John the Baptist baptizes the Lord Jesus, and as he steps back in that water, he sees the Spirit of God descend upon the Lord Jesus. And not only was Jesus his cousin, but Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I would submit to you that there may be a time in your life when you do not know who Jesus is, but once you know him, you can recognize him. You know who he is. You know his voice. You know his touch. You know his purpose. Let me stop here and be relevant. People of God, church family, believer, now is the time for you to be able to see Jesus. If all you are doing or your conversation is limited on the coronavirus, you're missing out on the opportunity to present to the world the Lord Jesus. And so there may be a time I do not know the Lord, but once I come to know the Lord, I can recognize him. Now, I do believe this. I do believe that Satan is moving in these days. I think Satan is taking an opportunity of the fear and of the panic that is going on in humanity. Understand what is happening biblically. You understand that Satan is working to bring his Christ. Satan has a Christ. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. And we understand that as hard as Satan is working to bring his Antichrist into the world, we know from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit of God through the church is resisting that. And so the Antichrist or the man of perdition cannot be revealed until the church is taken out of the earth. By the way, here in your living room is where, if you know the Lord, you ought to say praise God for the rapture. And so as Satan is working to bring in his Antichrist, he's being buffeted by the church or the Holy Spirit of God. But that does not mean that he's not lining up his systems, right? Because when hundreds of millions of people are gone off of the face of the earth and we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, Pastor, do you believe that garbage? My friend, it ain't garbage. It's the Word of God. The world is going to have a problem. And the world is going to have to explain the absence of countless numerous people. And so the systems of that are already being lined up. The media is being lined up. Our children are already being taught that about aliens and about differences. And all the television shows that are on there that will explain abduction and so on. You can see how the system is lining up. There has to be a one world order, a currency, governments, unions. All of this is being organized now. And so there will be pestilence. There will be illness. There will be disease. There will be all these things. And And so Satan is working to bring his Christ into the world. And so he's taking opportunity to arrange and work the orders of the systems. Now, don't get panicked out of that, child of God, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Right? And so as Satan is working that way, then the Lord Jesus is also working. Now, I believe that God is shaking the world through this coronavirus. You may find this hard to believe, but I believe that God is first shaking the church because we're distracted. We're too wealthy. We're too healthy. We're too, I don't mean this physically, I mean this spiritually. We're too fat. We're comfortable. We've got all of our comforts and contentment lined up in the houses we own, the money we have banked, the health, the plans, and so on. And I'm not saying those things in of themselves are bad. They're the blessing of God. But understand, the church was left on the earth because the people of the world need a voice about who Jesus is. And so I think God is shaking his people and saying, you're trusting in this. You're resting in this. You're not doing what I want you to do. And so it would be just like God to strip us down for nothing to get our attention. I also think he's shaking the world right now to get them to know that there is a God. There is an eternity. There is an afterlife. There is salvation. All of these things. So John the Baptist said, fellas, there's one that stands among you. You don't even know who he is, church family. Jesus is alive, and he is in the world today. And the world needs to be presented who he is. Well, they should know. God said he would use your voice. He could have rolled it in the stars. He could have done all those things. But he said he would use your voice. Watch how John the Baptist approaches this. It's powerful. When you come to verse number 29, John is sitting there with his disciples the next day. And John says, sees Jesus coming unto him. And John says, hey, fellas, that's the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. What a testimony. I see some things in this verse that I want you to write down. Write the word person down. Write the word purpose. Write the word power. And write the word people. Person, purpose, power, John was able to see Jesus when nobody else was able to see him. And as John is presenting the Lord Jesus to a world that could not see him, the church today needs to learn some things in our presentation of the Lord Jesus to the world that needs him. First thing that I want you to notice is that he was presented as the Lamb of God, right? He sees him in his person, not just as a man, but as the God-man. The Lamb of God was a title of the Messiah. The Lamb of God goes all the way back to Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The Lamb of God goes all the way back to the father of the Jewish nation in Abraham, where God provided himself a lamb. And the Lamb of God was provided there in Moses as they had those 10 plagues. And they were to shed the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost. You see, the one thing the world needs to know is that Jesus is a person and he is God. Why do we need to know that? Because it is through Jesus that you know God personally. See, God is a spirit, we know that, but God also has a body in the Lord Jesus. And so John says, look at your eyes upon him, for he is the Lamb of God. As a person, he's given his body as a sacrifice. In his humanity, he understands the things that we deal with. As a person, he is the way in which we relate to the Lord, relate to God or know God through that personal relationship. Listen, as we are communicating who Jesus is, we need to communicate him personally to a world that does not know him to be in that manner. Personal Lord and Savior, personal comfort and keeper, personal God that we can relate to. People are looking for that. Pastor, why would God become a person? Here's the deal. Look at that. He sees him in his purpose. As a person, he came as the Lamb of God. This was God's chosen Lamb. And here is his purpose, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so there's one among us, John the Baptist said, that you don't see him. You don't know him. He is the Lamb of God. And in as the Lamb of God, he has come with purpose. And his purpose is that he's going to take away the sin of the world. Now, my friend, you and I are included in that world. Your sin, Jesus came to take. Your sin, Jesus came to deal with. And so it's imperative that you understand this, and it's imperative that the church understands this. Pastor, why did Jesus come to take away my sin? Because your sin, our sin, according to Isaiah 59:2, has separated us from God. So when man sinned in the garden, and every man since has sinned, my sin, your sin, by the way, sin is the transgression of the law, sin is the breaking of God's word, and sin is that which goes against the righteousness of God. All of us were born sinners. I don't care where you are in the world or what your religious background is, every man and every woman that's ever been born has been born a sinner. The Bible teaches us that. Our sin has separated us from God. Big deal, Pastor. I don't even believe there is a God. Big deal, Pastor. So I'm separated. Kind of reminds me of those millennials on the beach. This is not a shot at all millennials. This is a shot at the one idiot millennial that was on the beach they interviewed. He said, I ain't going home. I paid good money to be here. I'm going to drink my beer and I'm going to party. And if I get corona, I get corona. I don't know if he was talking about the beer or the virus. Right? It is what it is mentality. Pastor, it doesn't really bother me that I'm separated from God. Yeah, but you need to understand what you've been separated unto. God is life, and in him is no, and he's light, and in him is no darkness. John taught us that. What your sin did and my sin did, as it separated me from God, it separated me unto something. And you will find that it separated me unto something called death. Now let's just be real clear. The whole world is shut down today. And if you really wanted to boil it down into one statement, the whole world is shut down because it's afraid to die. Afraid to die. It does not want to catch a disease or a virus that could kill it. So just think about it. I'm not wrong here. The whole world, you included, are hunkered in your house because you don't want to die. It's interesting. When you read the Bible, you will find that the only reason there is death is because sin is in the world. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and Oh, misunderstand, Pastor. I'm not saying that the thousands of folks that have died from the coronavirus have died through because of some type of judgment that they did something wrong. I'm telling you the reason you have something called coronavirus, or the reason you have something called disease, or the reason you have something called sickness or illness, or the reason that you have something called death is because sin brought it into the world. And so, where John the Baptist said, there's one among you and you don't comprehend what is going on, I would submit to you that Jesus is in the world and most of the world doesn't comprehend what is going on. This is why the world needs the voice of the church. And so as sin came into the world and every man is born a sinner, death came in with it as well. Pastor, are you afraid to die? I don't want to die, but I ain't afraid to die. Why are you not afraid to die? Because I understand what death is. And because I understand who Jesus is. The only reason that I'm going to face physical death is because sin is in the world and I'm a sinner, but I've been saved. That death I can't do anything about unless the Lord Jesus raptures us. By the way, coronavirus may not kill you, but you're not going to live forever. The Bible says death is the way of all the earth. The death you don't want to miss out on is the second death. All death is separation. It's always been that way. Physical death is the soul and the spirit separating from the human body. They can't remain together if the body's not able to function. So there's a separation. The second death is a spiritual death. It's a total separation from God for all eternity. A place called hell. Jesus came into the world so that he could take my sin as the Lamb of God. Pastor, what do you mean take? Well, when you read the Old Testament, the Bible says that God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross to die and to give his life as the Lamb of God, while he was hanging on that cross, God took your sin, God took my sin, and he placed it upon the Lord Jesus. And then, upon the Lord Jesus, God the Father poured out his wrath on God the Son. And by the way, that wrath was poured out upon him because your sin and my sin had been laid upon him. Imagine those moments. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You imagine once he was done, I thirst. You imagine the wrath of God poured out. That's why Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world. Jesus came because the world was condemned already. Jesus came and took your sin. And he took your sin to the cross so God the Father could punish him for your sin. What a mighty God we serve. John the Baptist said, hey fellas, that's the Lamb of God. He's come to take away the sin of the world. Now, he doesn't take your sin without you acknowledging it. He doesn't take your sin without your will. He doesn't take your sin without your confession. But the responsibility for every one of us is to recognize that Jesus is the Lord, to recognize that we're a sinner, to recognize our guilt, and if we will receive his sacrifice for our sin, and we will cry out to him as Lord, and we will receive him as our Savior, then he takes my sin and my guilt and my shame away from me and covers me in his righteousness. And by the way, if you're at home and you're covered by his righteousness, say amen. And gives to me eternal life. Pastor, so you're telling me you're not afraid to die. You're telling me that you're not afraid to die because when you die, you know where you're going. Absolutely. Pastor, nobody can know when they die where they are going. Do you watch Shark Tank? I like Shark Tank. Right now, with no basketball, no football, no hockey, I've seen every Hallmark movie under the sun. I'm kind of narrowed down to what I can watch. So we watched Shark Tank last night. Actually, last night, Shark Tank was a little raunchy. We had to turn it a little bit. Normally, you don't do that. You know what I'm talking about. Mr. Wonderful, Mark Cuban, Laurie, Robert, I forget the older lady's name. And people come in there and they present their businesses to them and they partner up with them and so on and so forth. What's interesting is I was watching Shark Tank last night. What happened at the very end of Shark Tank? They have a problem. They being those sharks that are seated there. And the problem must be very touching and very powerful because they had to give airtime to address the problem last night. The problem is with the ability with people with the computers in the digital era now, they can go in and grab pictures of Mr. Cuban or pictures of Lori, and they can take their pictures and put them on their products and sell on the internet their products that look like they're backed by the sharks. It must be working because all of them came on last night and had little snippets. And here's what they were begging. They told about what was happening and they begged the people, before you buy anything, would you please go to www.abc/sharktank.com? And here's what they said. So you can see the truth for yourself and you can know if you're being scammed or not. How's this relevant? I hear Madison's words in my mind. John the Baptist said, fellas, that's the Lamb of God. He's come to take away the sin of the world. If you're out there and you do not believe that Jesus is God or the Son of God, and you do not believe that he take away your sin, and you do not believe that he can give eternal life, and you do not believe that the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life, then I would invite you to go to www.theeternalwordofgod and find out the truth for yourself. Church family, speak up. The world needs your voice. He's the Lamb of God. Take away the sin of the world. His power, it's interesting. John saw his power as the Spirit of God descended upon him. This is speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. The world needs to know today that the Holy Spirit of God is real. The world needs to know the office and the working of the Holy Spirit of God. What happens when a man believes upon the Lord Jesus? What happens when we come to the Lord and believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing we have life on his name, as the Holy Spirit of God moves into our life. He's the indweller and the sealer. The Lord Jesus' blood provides forgiveness. His resurrection provides life. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that moves in the power of God, in the presence of God, in the acknowledgement of God. And when he moves in, he's called the great paraclete or the God of comfort. The great comforter is the Holy Ghost. And the world is looking for comfort today. Maybe you're sitting out there, you're watching. I don't know where you're watching. Maybe you're watching today. Maybe you'll watch weeks from now. And you just know you do not have peace. You know that you lack comfort. There's just this chaotic, panic, uneasy, unnervedness within you. It's within your soul. It's within your mind. And you're thinking, how am I ever going to settle this? Well, let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit of God. He is the God of all comfort. And there is no one that can settle you like him. And what happens is, as you recognize the Lord Jesus as the Savior and you believe upon him, it is the Spirit of God that indwells you. This is where you personally know God. You can't know God through religion, and you can't know God through ritualism, and you can't know God just through your own intellect. God must be in you in order for you to know God in that wonderful way. And so as I believe upon the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God moves within me and takes up residence within me, then I have the complete full assurance of God in my life. And I can sing those wonderful songs that though dark days come or I go through troubled waters, he's still with me. That is the wonderful blessing. John the Baptist said, I saw that dove remain upon him. That dove was the Holy Spirit of God. When you finish with verse 34 and you go to verse 35, and I'll close with this. It says, again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith again, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto him, What are you seeking? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now watch this. He first findeth his own brother and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Speak up, church. The world needs our voice. It needs the unified voice that there is one among the world whom the world doesn't know. They've rejected him. They have despised him. They have denied him. They have disgraced him. They have cursed him. But he loves them. And they don't even know he's there. Our responsibility in the midst of all of this panic is to say, hey world, there's Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He takes away your sin. If you'll receive him, you'll have life abundantly, eternal life. If you'll follow him, you'll know him to be a wonderful shepherd. Church, what else do we have to offer the world at this time? Go ahead. Give them a vaccine. They're going to line up for a vaccine. They're going to want a vaccine. So if I look at history, nothing wrong with vaccines. They had a vaccine for polio. They had a vaccine for chickenpox, for smallpox. They've got a vaccine for influenza. Now they're going to develop a vaccine for coronavirus. Do you think we're done with diseases? there'll be a need for another vaccine. And there'll be a need for another vaccine. And there'll be a need for another vaccine. We're not going to prevent this on the earth. This cannot be the message of the church. The message of the church has to be the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus to take away the greatest disease of the human heart, the disease of our sin. Don't get confused. Speak up. The world needs your voice. Shall we pray?